1 Samuel chapter 28, and I believe we read 4 through 20, somewhere around there. We're not going to read that whole scripture this morning, but if you have never read it before, I'm going to encourage you to read it. I'm going to encourage you to go back and read it. So what we have, I'm going to give you a rundown of it. What we have is we have King Samuel, King Saul. Samuel was the prophet, we have King Saul, who is at the end of his reign. Who's supposed to be the next king?
David.
Saul does not like the mentality that his son is not going to be the next king. So he tries to come before God, but Saul has been so far out of the will of God. He has been carnal for so long that the normal ways that he heard from the Lord, God is not speaking to him. Now, let me go ahead and say this too. We're talking Old Testament. And it's not that I personally believe it this way. I don't think it's that Saul can't hear from, or that God is not speaking to Saul, but Saul is not getting to a place where he can hear from God. He knows he's in sin, and he's refusing to even repent. He's refusing to repent from his ways, and it's kind of like, have you ever seen a kid that puts their fingers in their ears and like, no, I can't hear you, la, la, la. That's kind of how, I mean, it's ridiculous, but that's how King Saul is doing. He knows what he's doing is wrong. He's a godly man. He knew the Lord. He followed after. He stepped in the office of a prophet, not that he was a prophet, and just because you stepped in a gifting one time does not make you operate in that gift. If you have prophesied one time, does not make you a prophet or a prophetess. Okay? All right. Just want to throw that out there. And just like if you preach one time, doesn't make you a pastor. Okay. And so, so he has stepped into a move of God before. He knows the Lord. And there are Christians today who have known God and decide to step out of his will. And maybe it was for a little bit, and then they jump back on the path. And then that was kind of fun. Let's get back over here. I like that a little bit. And then they get out really quick and they repent and they feel bad about it. And they just keep doing it because they know it's wrong. They repent. They felt bad for what they did. Repent means to turn from your way. We almost in America think repent means just to say, Lord, forgive me. Repent. Yeah, that's a process. That's an outward expression of repenting. But repenting means to turn. To turn. To change. That's good. I like that. Okay, so I need someone who is willing to represent a sin. Anyone want to represent sin for me? I have a someone's hand, because I used to just pick people out, and then people would get, you can stay right there. I'm coming over to you. And so we'll say this, what sin do you want to represent this morning? Don't pick, I don't know. I don't know what you're going to pick. Should I pick for you?
Yeah, you should
pick. All right, let's pick something. I don't know. Let's pick alcoholism. Okay, let's just pick being drunk as Cooter Brown. If you don't know Cooter Brown, you don't know him. All right, and so you get off my path. You're not on my path. You're over here. Just stand right there. And so, I get out, and I go to a friend's party, and he has alcohol there, and I don't want to look at a place, so I grab, some of it, and then I go too far. And I'm a lightweight because, one, look at me, and two, I don't drink a whole lot. So I'm over here, right? So I'm not used to drinking and all this kind of stuff, so I get drunk as Cooter Brown. And, I feel so bad that I go to the Lord, I'm so sorry. But, I did talk to that nice little girl over there, and I would never have had the courage to do that if I would. And so, maybe I tap into it. I come and visit alcoholism, Wade. I come and visit Wade every once in a while. But then I repent, and, I have this outward form, forgive me. And then maybe even so much that some of my Christian friends begin to, come to me, because I'm hanging out with Wade way too much. I mean, we've gotten so far off the path. Now, me and him's hanging out on a regular basis. I'm leaving and going back to church Sunday morning. Sometimes it's really hard. I wear glasses at church so it hides the bloodshot eyes. But then I come back over here because I start enjoying the presence of Wade. Saul started enjoying the presence of sin that he never left and got back on his path. And so instead of repenting, he just got upset that people called him out on it. He got called out in his sin every once in a while, and he didn't repent. He just was upset that people found out about it. Have you ever found somebody who repented because they were caught? I sometimes wonder, the level of repentance there. Are they really repenting? Or are they just embarrassed that they got found out? So this happens to CEOs who are doing things illegal with money. This has happened to Martha Stewart in investing. And I always wonder, Martha, were you really, are you really repentant, or do you just upset you got caught doing it? I don't know what happened. So anyway, King Saul did not turn from his ways. He just got upset every once in a while, or just got found out. And he finally got to a point where he decided, I'm living with Wade. I'm going to live with my sin. I'm going to live with my mistake. I'm not getting back on my path. God can have me this way, or he can have me no way. And so Samuel shut his ears and got off his path. And Saul shut his ears and got off his path. Instead of repenting and getting back where he, thank you so much for being sin for me this morning. And so that's what happened. He wasn't repentant. He didn't turn from his ways. He just outwardly, and he even did an outwardly great thing at that time. He got rid of all, he made it illegal. Illegal. He made it against the law to practice witchcraft, to be a warlock. And he banished them from the nation of Israel. And it was punishable by death. He did an outward act. And that's why you can't judge people. You can't judge politicians on certain laws and things that they do. Or you can't judge, can I say this? You can't judge pastors just by seeing them up here preaching the word of God. Me preaching up here is no way to judge me. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. The Bible tells us that there will be those who have the appearance of godliness, but deny the power thereof. Just because, can I say this? If a minister lays hands on the sick and they recover, that does not mean that they are a great man or woman of the Lord. It does not mean that. You cannot judge a minister based on the works that they do. Now, works do follow. And so if you were to judge King Saul on his commandment, his law, you would look at our great king. Look at our Christian king. Kicking the devil out of our nation. Praise the Lord for King Saul. Everybody, Saul, 4 more years. 4 more years. You know, I don't care if you agree with who's in office or who isn't, whether our governor or whether our president, whether you voted for both of them or none of them. It does not matter. God can still use ungodly people. He has, and now doesn't mean that we get out of voting. I think we should be involved. And can commercials already? What do we got? 2 more years? This is going to be one heck of a campaign. We are going to be so sick of it by the time November rolls around. But the point is, we can't get ourselves out of it. We should be involved. We absolutely should be involved. We need to get out. We need to vote. I had someone tell me, you know, is it a sin for me not to vote? No, but it would probably be for me. I don't know about you, but I feel so convicted on getting involved and trying to make a difference. One person, hush your mouth. That's why we're a church. That's why we're a collective force. If we all get together and do it, we can change this nation. It's not about one. It's about all of us getting together and doing our part. So, and I didn't mean to get up. Yeah, I did. We're on politics. So let's just keep moving. So Saul here, he makes a decision that he's not going to repent from his ways, but he wants to kill David because David is the next king. Because in the carnal sense, it is Saul's son that should be king. That's how it works. God, do you not know how it works? My son is supposed to be the next one on the throne, not David. God doesn't know what he's doing. And then you can justify what you're doing or try to. You can't justify it, but you can try to. So even this, okay, now once he can't hear from God, once he can't hear from the prophets, the Urim, the Thurim, and once he can't get, you know, all how in the dreams too, he can't get the way that God would usually speak to him. So what did he do? He sought out a witch and he talked to his advisor and they said, hey, we know of a median in Endor. We can go visit her. And so he put on a disguise and he went to visit her. And if you recall the story, he basically said, I need you to contact somebody for me. And she said, don't you know the king just made it illegal? What are you trying to do? Get me killed here? Be like, and he's like, look, I promise. And this is interesting to me too. What is his mentality? He says, I promise by the Lord Most High. He gives his word from God. He says, I give my word as good as I know the Lord God. I give you my word, no harm will come unto you. And then she starts to, and he says, well, who do you want to contact? He says, I want to contact Samuel, the prophet. And so she doesn't, you know, he didn't say the prophet, but he said Samuel. And so she yells out, you are Saul, you've tracked me. He's like, no harm's going. What do you see? I see a man, an old man coming up with a mantle on. He's like, I perceive that is Samuel. And so but this is it. It is against the will of God. Last week I gave you so many scriptures about no witchcraft that it defiles you and God hates it. God says it is an abomination. We are not to go to what God calls an abomination to seek help. And this is what King Saul did. He justified the ends with the means. He says, what I want to do is hear from God. Yes, witchcraft is bad. Yes, I'm not supposed to go this route, but I will hear from the prophet and that will make it okay. I will use an evil outlet to get to a godly solution. Can I tell you, the ends never justify the means? You can try to do something that is right and do it the wrong way and it makes it wrong. Be like, look, I'm going to do all this, but I need to cheat a couple people out of some stuff because they're not willing to get let loose of it. That is wrong. Yep. It is wrong. It is wrong to mess over people. It is wrong to go to church and try to use church people for your profitable gain. Do you know that there are certain companies that tell you to go to church because they let down their guard, take them out to dinner, and give them a big pitch? Mm-hmm. Seriously. Wow. Seriously. It's in their handbook. It's in their handbook and says that churches are a great place to grow your business. And I would say, yeah, churches are a great place to grow your business. But if the company is shady and causes you to do things that are unethical, it is wrong and the ends do not justify the means. And I'm not talking bad about companies that tell you to do that. There are good companies. There are some good companies. But if you're doing it in a manner that is wrong, the end result is wrong as well. Yeah. You don't hurt people to try to get the end result, which you think is great, where God has led you. Can I say, we see this in politics. We see this in CEOs. We see this in so many things that they say the end will justify the means. It doesn't. Just look at your neighbor and say, it doesn't justify it. So Saul was trying to contact Samuel, and he thought, it will be fine. I know it's wrong, but it will be fine because what I'm trying to do is get a hold of a godly principle. I'm trying to do something godly here, but I can't hear my normal ways, so I'm going to have to try to find something. He had pressure. He was discouraged. He was surrounded, which, by the way, was his own fault. All the Philistine army was around him. Why is the Philistine army around him? Because he sent all his army to kill one man. Do you know, I wonder if King Saul ever sat down and thought, that was kind of stupid of me. I might have, should have kept 10,000, 20,000 men to protect the borders. Maybe I shouldn't have sent them all. But he did this so many times, he was getting a reputation. And the enemy was just watching. Let David run one more time. And he's going, just like he did the last time and the time before that, he's going to send the whole army. And then Israel is ours. And that's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened. And this is a lie. Are you ready for this lie? My sin only affects me. And some people justify it that way. That's the way they justify. Yes, I know it's wrong, but it's not going to affect my lovely wife. It's not going to affect my children. It's not going to affect my coworkers. It's just mine. It's just mine. No one knows, no one will see, and it doesn't really hurt me that bad, and it's just not going to hurt other people. That is a lie the enemy has told for thousands and thousands of years, eons upon eons. So if I want to give a title to this sermon, I'm going to call it The Devil, the Imitator of God. He is a deceiver. Now, he has to grab on to some little bit of truth. Because if he didn't grab onto some little bit of truth, you would absolutely be able to spot it from a mile away. Right. Do you know, I believe you should be able to let your guard down in church. I really do. The problem is, you can't. Because there are people who try to pray. Pray on you like a animal. I remember this. Let's talk about praying. I remember this. I was over a prayer group one time. I was over a prayer group, and I kept noticing this older gentleman praying with young girls, 19, 18, 20, 21, and he was in his 40s. And I noticed that they would pray, and he would get down, they would get on their knees. He would put his arm around them, lean on them. And I just kept watching that. The Bible says, watch and pray, and leaders should be aware of certain things. And I began to watch that, and it made me uncomfortable. And I remember I talked to him one time about it. I said, I'm not saying anything, but it just doesn't look right. I think you need to, I would tell this to any guy is single. If it's not a married couple, you don't lay on the floor next to somebody like, no, you just don't do that. You just don't do it. So, okay, yeah, I understand. Next week, he did it again. He did it again. And this time I told him, you're not allowed back to my prayer group. You're not allowed back to my prayer group. Right. Oh, Pastor, that's not fair. That's so harsh. No, there are some people that pray on Christians and in church. And then I found out this is so interesting because you have to report back to your leaders. I reported back what happened and told them my decision and everything that we went through. And I was ready for correction if I was wrong. And they said, that's funny. What was the name of the guy? Told them the name. And they said, he's been kicked out of 8 prayer groups for the same thing. You think he would have finally got to a place. But there are some Christians or some people, and you know, I don't even doubt his salvation, but what I do doubt is his motives. Yeah. And there are some people that come into the church for no other reason than try to use people for their benefit, whatever it is, whether it's business, whether, you know, I believe in God. How am I supposed to meet people? Yeah. Go to the church picnic. And so we, you know, it's bad that sometimes we can't let our guard down, but we need to understand that there are times that the enemy will try to come in a wolf in sheep clothing. That's right. And so we do need to be aware of that. That's right. And so let's just go back to this. All right. So we have Saul speaking to a witch here, the witch of Endor. Now, you know, there are TV shows where people contact the dead mediums. I would ask the showing of hands who's ever seen it, but I'm not going to ask that. There are shows that have got that on there. They're like, I'm feeling something. I've watched it. You might be able to tell. I watched it one time. And they're like, I'm feeling something over here. There's a young man, K. I'm seeing a K. Is there someone here? Kevin. I know a Kevin. And they stand up. Why? Well, because Kevin is the most common K name in the United States. And so, yes, it's me. Was it a family member? Yes, it was. Okay, well, he died? Yes. And I'm like, that's why they're at the show in the first place. Can I tell you this? I don't care if it's a reality TV show. Anybody watch reality TV shows? Do you know that reality TV shows is not about reality? It's about ratings. And they are masters at creating an environment for stuff to happen. And they push and they talk and they try to manipulate things to get it there. And they can cause a reaction that they're looking for that they know is great TV. You want to know why? Because if they don't get that reaction, they don't get season 2. And these people that are mediators and all this, if they don't get that amount of people, they don't get season 2. They set things up. And you think the producers care? No, they know. They encourage. They want that. Because if they don't get season 2, they're out of a job. And so these TV shows, whether it's mediums or whether it's reality TV, and there's some reality TV shows I love. Like, I'm not supposed to tell y'all shows I like, but you know, like Shark Tank, I love that mess. And I even tell my wife, I mean, like, I told her, I said, if I believe that they come up with these deals and all this right here, right now, I'm out of my mind. You think somebody's going to invest millions of dollars without doing their homework beforehand? No, they've done all their homework. They know what they're going to do, but they just make great TV. It's entertaining to watch. No business deal goes down. Billions of dollars are not spent without investment and education and knowing the business and checking their finances. And nothing's done that way. But it wouldn't make a great program if you see a bunch of accountants looking over paperwork. Doesn't make great TV. So with all these medians and something, and I want to say this too, if you've ever talked to a median card reader, all these things, I'm not saying everybody that is doing that is possessed of the devil. Now I will say this, witchcraft, the Bible tells us in the New Testament, is a work of the flesh. It is a work of the flesh. And a work of the flesh, yeah, it is a desire of the flesh to know the future. It is a desire of the flesh. Here, I drank my tea. Now look in here and tell me what my future is. What do these lines mean? It means that you worked hard as a child. You know, what does this mean? What does that mean? What does this mean? If we know the future, we can, you know, we want to know the future so we can plan. We want an easy fix. We want to know what companies to invest in. Tell me, throw the cards down, read the tea. Tell me what Microsoft is going to do. Tell me what Apple is going to do. They're going to make and lose money. Okay, and so in all of this, we want to know the future. That is a work of the flesh. Now, its power is demonic. And I will say that not every fortune teller is demonic. Most of them are trying to make a living by putting on a great show. Yeah. That's what they're doing. They're trying to create an ambiance, their entertainment value. And if you watch those psychic, call me now, underneath in those little letters is entertainment purposes only. they're entertainers. It's not that. Now, there are some that talk to familiar spirits, like this medium that we have. She had a reputation for talking to familiar spirits. What is a familiar spirit? So familiar spirits are demonic forces that are just around and know everybody. Okay, I'm glad y'all got that. We're not going to go deep into that this morning. But so we have him trying to get a hold of witchcraft here. He's trying to get a hold of something to direct his path. But I'm going to tell you something. The devil is a deceiver, and the devil wants to imitate God. Now, we're told to imitate the Lord. We're told to be imitators of God. Well, Satan wants to imitate God not in character, but he wants to imitate God in power. And we find that in the scriptures, and we'll get to it. Now, I want to point something else out before we get going too much further. The devil is the god of this world. That's what the Bible says. And I've had somebody ask me, how can the devil be the god of this world when it says the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof? So I want to explain that. The scriptures does not contradict itself. What we have is the word world and we have the word earth. The word world is the Greek word, or excuse me, the Hebrew word cosmos. Sound familiar? Cosmos. Also, cosmetics. Ever hear that word? Cosmetics is two Greek words put together. Cosmos is one of them. And then I forgot the other one. Sorry. But what it means is skillful arrangement. That's exactly the exact definition of cosmetics is skillful arrangement. And can I tell you, some of you ladies, you are really skillful. I mean, y'all are great at what you do. And then I've seen some people that it's like, whoa! Where it's just like, if you hug them, they leave it right there. I came from a church in the South. You know, they had a mentality, big hair and lots of makeup. They used to say, jacket to Jesus, he'll see you coming. Their hair was so tall, and I'm not kidding, every time we wore suits and ties, I had to get my jacket dry cleaned every service. After every service, I had this mud right here. Where people, so ladies, if you hug somebody, watch that makeup. It's hard to get out of suits. And so it means cosmetic, it means skillful arrangement. And you are not skillfully arranging it if you leave it on somebody else's clothing. That is not a skill, that's a costly arrangement, not a skillful arrangement. And so this word cosmos is translated 184 times into world and one time into worlds. And so God is the god of this earth and Satan is the god of this world. Now, every time it says gods besides God, it's little g, right? Little g, not big g. There are idols and we call them gods. There are demons and they've been called gods. And let's even go to this route. Man can make something a god. We see in the Old Testament that the Israelites made gold in the shape of a calf, a god. They bowed down and worshiped it, little g. Yep. Little g will never become a big G. It will never become, you can worship it, you can bow down to it, you can pray to it, and it will never cause it to become a big G. It will always be a little g. Now, we don't have calves that we bow down to in America and in our culture or idols that we bow down to, but we make other things idols. We can make work idol. We can make our children idols. I believe that has happened in our country a lot, where we have made children everything. And I'm not saying that you need to treat your kids great. But they do not need to come to a point where if they do something wrong, they still get everything. Oh, no, let's not even go there. But you know me and children. I have problems going to grocery stores sometimes and listening to other kids. Sometimes I have problems going and listening to my kids. But it's still a work in progress. And so in all of this, we can make something a god, and it may not be a physical idol that we built down and that we bow down and worship and pray to it, but it can be something that takes all our time, takes our time away from God, and we don't put it in the right priority. Don't make work your god. Don't make your spouse god. Ooh. Don't make any other thing God except for God. Because God is a big G, whether you worship him or not. whether those who worship false religions, whether those who worship other things, he is the big God. Whether you worship him or whether you don't worship him, he is God. Whether you do everything perfect or you do nothing perfect, whether you've messed up this week or you haven't messed up this week, God is still G-O-D, capital letters. Look at it, Lord, capital L-O-R-D. He is the Lord. So this, let's just put it this way. It's kind of like renting. God is the owner of the earth. Now, he created Adam and Eve, and he gave them cosmos. He gave them the ability to create government. He gave them the ability to rule this world. He gave them the lease to the earth. Now, when Adam and Eve sinned, they turned the lease over to the devil. They subletted, if you will. They gave it over. Now, the good news is the lease is coming up. We're not far away from that lease coming up. Now, when that lease comes up, the good news is he is not going to renew the subletting. Now, have you ever been rented someone's home and you're coming up and we would like for another year, and they say, nope. They have that right. They have that ability. And we're coming to a place where the lease is coming up and God's going to say, this earth is mine and now the cosmos is mine. Then it's all mine. And so that's where we're getting back to. Someone say, thank you, Jesus. All right. And so God turned the world, the cosmos, over to Adam and Eve. Now, I want to say this, too. I've had somebody ask me, you know, and it normally is after a major storm or a hurricane that hits the United States. And I've had people ask me, Pastor, is this God or is this the devil? Is this God or is this devil? And I heard people say, Katrina was God punishing, you know, Louisiana for all their sin. I love how we pick out on one, you know. And where does everybody's mind go with Louisiana? They go to Bourbon Street. They go to one little place. Like, God's going to destroy a whole state because of one city. And can I say this, too? Anybody visit Louisiana since that's happened? Okay, me too. I was there. It was awesome. Bourbon Street, if God was destroying, if that was Katrina, was God, he missed. Yeah. Bourbon Street was not destroyed. It was still intact. So when God destroys cities, Sodom and Gomorrah, we don't even really know where it is. You want to know why? Because God took care of it. When God's involved in destroying something, you don't rebuild. You might not even know where it is anymore. Like, we believe Bourbon Street was somewhere over here. That's how God deals with something. And then, was it the devil? Well, you know, why would the devil try to destroy his city that he enjoys? Yeah, he wouldn't want to destroy that either. So can I just say this? The devil is behind whether sometimes we even read in the New Testament, Jesus on the Sea of Galilee and the storm came up and God spoke to the storm. Did God speak to every storm? No. He spoke to this storm because he knew the power behind the storm. Now, I believe you can speak to weather. I believe you could, you know, if a storm is coming, I pray over my home. I pray. Father, I thank you that 1,000 may fall at my right, 10,000 my left, but it will not come under here. If there's only, if this whole neighborhood's destroyed, this house will stand because this is the house of the Lord. So I pray and believe God for protection and all that good stuff. But I want to tell you something. Just because a storm comes does not mean the devil is directly. I knew he hates me. Well, of course he hates you. He hates all people. But, you know, like he's trying to destroy me. Now, that may happen. It may have happened, but I am going to tell you this. When the fall happened, when bad weather, earthquakes, all this stuff started because of the fall. And now we just live in a world where there are times that earthquakes happen and things happen because this is the earth is the kingdom. It is the world, the government. It is here by the little G-O-D. He started it thousands and thousands of years ago, a long time ago. He started this all into action. And it's still causing bad weather and things today. It does not mean every hailstorm was of the devil. And if it is, I hope you have insurance because they'll pay for a new roof. Woo! I know you have a deductible, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so in all of this, not every storm comes from the devil. So stop giving him credit for things he did not do. All right, sorry. Let's turn to Acts chapter 16. But I want you to know something. The devil will get a hold of the truth. He has little bits of the truth because, he always tries to show up as an angel of the light. He always tries to project himself. You know, it is him who calls injustice justice, calls sin good and good sin. Are we not in that today? Amen. Where the world is pointing to the church and saying, y'all are so backwards. You're so hateful people. You can't judge people. You can't judge people. And they're right on that. They're right. We can't judge heaven and hell issues. We can't judge at all. But you know what? A liar is still a liar. A drunkard's still a drunk. You can tell a tree by the fruit it bears. Can I tell you this? If you have a history, I don't care if you've given your life to Jesus. If you had a history where you are a sexual predator, you will not step foot in my nursery. You will not volunteer. You will not do that. It's under the blood, Pastor. I know. God bless you. Thank God. We'll see each other in heaven. But you're not working in the nursery and you're not working in the children's church. And we'll check your background. You don't get my kids without that. You understand me? So we don't do that. Doesn't mean God is not forgiven us our sins. But you know what? Some people try to get involved in stuff like that because they're not, they want to get back into it. They're looking for an easy prey. And we're not going to allow that to happen. And the devil will show up as an angel of the light and use scriptures to try to confuse you. He did Jesus.
That's right.
He used scripture. And I had someone tell me, Pastor, there was a single mom, three kids. She was owed $25,000 in child support. Owed $25,000 in child support, barely making ends meet. And she comes to me crying, Pastor, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I want to do the Christian thing. And I went to take him to Courtney, and he told me, he says, the Bible says not to sue your brethren. And I just don't know what to do anymore, Pastor. I just don't know what to do. And I said, do you love your children? Yeah. Do you love yourself? Yeah. I said, you take that man to court and you clean out his bank account. Yeah, I don't care if you have to take his property. You take everything he's got. He's a dirty, rotten scoundrel. Those who do not provide for their own is worse than an infidel. Don't let him come up to you trying to make you think this is not Christian. The Bible says, go to your brethren. You shouldn't have to sue your brethren. Shouldn't have to. You go to them. If they deny, then you bring someone else with you. You go again. And if they deny it that time, take his butt to the cleaners. If you love your children and you want them provided for, you're going to get what is rightfully theirs. I refuse to allow the enemy to come in and steal from my kids and my home and to abuse me and me have the mentality, well, I don't want to do that because I'm a Christian. Oh, I'm a Christian, all right. And I'll bless God the moment I get the first check, too. I'll praise him. I'll even tithe on it. Woo! Maybe even give a little more. But all in the name of Christianity. You got to know what it is to be with the Lord. And the devil will show up and try to distort things and make you feel bad. No. We do not let the devil get away with that. Acts 16:16. Have you found it? And it shall come to, and it came to pass as we went through, went to pray at a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of, divination met us in, which brought her master's much gain as a soothsayer. So she was like a card reader, you know, a future teller, all this good stuff. And she had a great reputation. If you study this, she had a great reputation throughout the community because she brought much wealth to her masters, right? Now, the same followed Paul and said and cried, saying, these men are servant of the Most High God, which he showed unto us the way of salvation. We have a woman possessed by the devil declaring that these men are of God. Isn't that interesting? Do you know what most people would have done? Give her a microphone. Be like, I'm coming in town. This woman sees this. But you know, and it says many days. It didn't come. Let's just keep reading. We'll talk about it in a minute. Verse 18. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. I kind of like to picture it this way. It doesn't have to be this way, but I like to picture it this way. I like this woman, you know, just standing around screaming, being irritated. He says, in the name of Jesus, come out of her. And then he turns, she stays there and leaves. And it was an hour, you know, within that same hour, amount of time, it came out. Kind of like Jesus speaking. I think you probably saw that with Jesus, you know, that whole story with Jesus speaking to the tree, walked away and didn't have to stand there and watch it happen. Just knew it was going to happen. Just knew by the power that's in him that it was going to happen. He walked away. Now, why would the devil even do this? I think I have a reason. I think, and I could be wrong, okay? Look at your neighbor and say, this is pastor's opinion. I think this woman is no, you know, newbie to this. She knows what she's doing. And so great men of God, she heard of this work. So she's the forerunner. These are men of God. Because what do evangelists do? They come and then what do? And when their job is over, they... And then it looks like she is the fair. She was the one announcing it. So all of a sudden, it looks like she's working for God. Her gifts is not of the devil, but it is of God. So when they left, her reputation would be intact. And even now, she's got a new clientele, believers. Because she's the one who announced that they were coming. The devil tries to show up as an angel of the light. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Actually, you go to Isaiah 14. I'm going to read Ephesians chapter 5 just due to time. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1, you write that down, and y'all go to Isaiah 14. Ephesians 5 and 1 says, be ye therefore followers, imitators, some translation puts it, of God as dear children. See, the devil tries to imitate God, but not as a child. And I'll explain this. How many of you have children? How many of you was a child? Okay, that covers the majority of us. I remember my father when he would shave. I always loved watching my father shave. And when he would get out of the shower, I wanted to shave too. And he even bought me this toy shaver. And I loved it. Well, first he gave me his shaver with the attachable head. And I shaved with no head, didn't know any difference. He's like, be careful, you'll cut yourself. I'm like, there was no razor there. And then he bought me a toy set. And I remember I shaved beside him every time he shaved. I loved it. I didn't know how much a pain shaving was. But, you know, I loved it and I wanted to be just like my dad. And I remember telling him, Dad, when I grow up, I'm going to be just like you. I'm going to be just like you. I wanted to be like my father ethically. And my father taught me ethics, and I'm so thankful. And parents, we should teach our kids ethics. And even to the point where one time someone over gave him change, and it was $20 too much change. And he walked out, and he turned around. We were already gone. Turned around and said, son, they gave me too much money. I didn't notice until right now. Went back in, and he brought me with him. And we went in, and he says, excuse me, ma'am. And we stood in line. We had to stand in line to give money back. You know what a lot of Christians would have said? Oh, man. Oh, man. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord gave me $20. The Lord didn't give you $20. Somebody made a mistake. Yep. We're human. We err. And he took me back, and he gave the money back and showed what happened. You know what she did? She closed her till down. She counted and found out she was $20 off. My father was right. And then she took the $20 back. You know what that taught me later? I remember I went in very recently. I had two kids with me and my wife. We were at Target, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. And my kids were going nuclear. Yeah. So I thought, we're not going to do this publicly. We're going to do this privately in our vehicle. So I took the two kids and I was going to buy a pair of sunshades. Lucy stepped on my sunshades and broke them. So I bought a new pair. And where did I put the sunshades? So my kids are going nuts. I walk them outside, and just as soon as I get back to the car, I'm looking. God gave me a new pair of sunshades. Praise the Lord! No. We have to turn back in, and we have to go back. We have to pay for the sunshades, and hopefully that security hasn't noticed and is waiting by the door for me to get back. But no, I bought it without a problem, didn't say anything, and left. But it's because good ethics were placed in me. Good ethics were placed in me as a child. And we need to be putting good ethics in us. And maybe you wouldn't raise that way. Well, now you can read what your father, God, would do and put those good ethics on the inside of you. And it may be tempting to be like, oh, my till was over $20 and I don't want it to look like it, so I'm just going to take from it. You know, there are some people that short people purposely and make their till balance at the end of the day so that they can gain more money. That's not who we are. We do not. Well, the Lord wants me to be blessed. Okay, King Saul, settle down. Yeah. Stop trying to justify the ends with the wrong means. All right, have y'all found Isaiah 14? Now, the devil is a deceiver. He says he will deceive the whole world. Now, we're not part of the cosmos. We're part of this earth, but we're not part of the cosmos. We work in a different system. So he's deceived the world, but he has not deceived the church. And if we need to be praying that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened. We need to be praying the Ephesian prayers. We don't put our trust in crystals. We don't put our trust in mantras and incantations. We don't put our trust. Can I even say this? I think you should eat healthy. But the moment that you think organic is your salvation. There are godly people who can't afford organic. They're not in the place to afford it. And God will bless them and cause their body to be healthy. Even though they can't afford those $150 a month vitamins that you take. I would tell you what my grandfather said about vitamins, but I'm not. It's not edifying. And it needs to be churched up quite a bit. He just basically said they made your smell funny. And that's all they did. Isaiah 14 and 12. Are you there? Now this is talking about Satan here. Lucifer. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? Now, the Greek word for Lucifer here is helia, or heleo, depending on male or female connotation, where we're talking about it here. But it means shining one, the morning star. The direct translation is, light bearer. He was supposed to bear the light of the one that was to come. He was to bear the very light of Jesus Christ. You know what interests me? I met a Satanist one time at a airport. I was at an airport, and I met a Satanist. I just sat beside, and you know me, I like to talk to people, so I asked, and he was, you know, I could tell he was irritated by me talking to him, and I planned on that being the last thing. I said, "Hey, how are you doing?" "Fine. How are you?" Like, "Good, good, good." And I'm like, "Oh, I better end this quick. He's not happy to talk with me." I said, "Oh, so I'm headed such and such place. Where are you headed?" And I'm like, "God," I continue in the conversation. And he says, "I'm headed here." I said, "Oh," he's like, "so what are you doing?" He finally engaged. He's like, "What are you doing?" I said, "Oh, I'm going to preach." And he looked at me and he smiled. He says, "You're a Christian." I'm like, "Yeah." He's like, "I'm a Satanist." And this was my response. Are you ready? I also was 19, by the way. It was my first time meeting a Satanist. I said, "Really?" He goes, yeah. They're like, "Can I ask you questions?" He's like, "Yeah, sure. You can ask me questions." And he says, "You know, I tell this to a lot of Christians, and I've never had this response. They always leave me alone." I'm like, "I'm not like a lot of Christians." And he's like, yeah, I could tell. And so I asked him some stupid questions that I didn't realize were stupid until I asked him. I said, "Do you believe in God? Do you believe in Jesus?" And he laughed. He said, "Of course I do. I'm a Satanist. If I believe in Satan, I have to believe in God. I have to believe in his son, Jesus. I have to. Because without them, there is no Satan." I'm like, "Oh, never thought that one out." And so, you know, I just started asking questions. I'm like, "Do you pray?" He's like, yeah, I pray. I'm like, "Sacrifice things?" He's like, "I don't like to talk about it." I'm like, "Oh, okay." And so, you know, I was going through all of this. And I said, "Now tell me. Now, do you go to hell when you die? Where do you go?" And he says, "Well, yeah, I go to hell when I die, but I only go for 1,000 years. I'm like, 1,000 years in hell? Okay, explain this to me." He says, "Well, Satan, Lucifer, and now I don't know if all Satanists believe this way, if it's like churches, some sects believe in this, some sects believe in that, and you know, it's different wherever you go. I don't know if Satanists are the same way. I haven't met a whole lot of them and hadn't had the opportunity to talk to them." But he said, "Jesus and Lucifer were like brothers." And he said, "They got in a fight for territory in heaven. Lucifer lost. And so Lucifer got kicked out. The devil was wrong, but he will suffer in hell for 1,000 years and then be accepted back into heaven and all his followers with him." I said, "Oh, okay." I said, "I don't believe that is true." I said, "I'm sure you know what I believe. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Lucifer is a fallen angel." I said, "But let's just say what you're saying is real. Let's just say what you're saying is true. You're serving a loser. He lost the battle. Jesus is more powerful. He lost. Why would you serve someone with less power? Be like, if I looked at two people, this person can cause me to go to heaven when I die. This person I have to burn for 1,000 years. Let me sit back. Who should I choose? Who should I choose? I mean, like, it's kind of common sense here. And I remember he stood back for a second and says, well, you know, I really just don't know. I didn't like Christians. I'm like, there's some of them I don't like either. I love them. There's just some people I don't like. Nobody in this place. They go to other churches. And so I just remember him thinking, he's like, you know, I never really thought about it. I never really thought about it. And I didn't perceive it was a great time to ask him, but I planted a seed and I expect God to water it. I expect somebody else to water it. And I don't know what's happened to him since then. But it's just, it started making him think. Because most Christians, you know, want to know what most Christians would have said? Get thee behind me, Satan. I got to get out of here. Like, God, in the name of Jesus, come out. You would have saw them dart and get out quickly. But the point of the matter is, look, this young man was so deceived. So deceived. The devil is a deceiver. Now, he was supposed to bear the light. I heard this from one minister before. He said, the Lord spoke to him and told him, everything the devil knows, I taught him. And then he thought, well, God, how am I supposed to go up against somebody that you taught them everything they know? And he said, I said everything they know, not everything I know.
Yeah, there you go.
God is more powerful. And the enemy does know some of the word. Yes. Now, the truth is not in him. And he uses it for confusion. He uses it to divert people. The truth, he can't tell the truth. So there's always a purpose why he does what he does. Mm-hmm. Now, let's continue to read verse 13. For thou hast said in thine heart. Notice sin never starts out as an action. Sin never starts out as an action. It always starts with a thought, a suggestion, or an idea. Right. Now, can I tell you this? That thought, suggestion, and idea is not a sin. It's not a sin. It's what you do with that thought, suggestion, and idea. I like Kenneth Hagin used to say, you can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can stop it from building a nest in your hair.
That's right.
In other words, just because it's a fleeting thought doesn't mean it's you. Doesn't mean that that's who it is of. It can be of the enemy, right? All right, let's continue to read. I will ascend. You know, the devil had an eye problem. I will ascend. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregations in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High, and yet shall be brought down to hell, to the side of the pit. When are they that see thee shall, I'm sorry, I'm losing my place, narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of the prisoners? Let's turn to Revelation 20. I'm ending with this scripture. Revelation 20. The Bible tells us when we look upon the enemy, when he's drugged out before all of humanity, the world will say, this is it. This is what made nations fear and tremble. This is what gave the church such a fight. Really? This. Revelation 20 and verse 1. But notice he says, do you know the devil still hasn't learned his lesson? It's prophesied in Revelation that he's going to try to sit, he's going to rebuild the temple. He's going to sit in it. Mm-hmm. The devil, knowing all that he's done, is still not repentive. He still has not learned from his ways. He never will. Because we're told in the future, he's going to be cast into the pit for 1,000 years. Now, can I tell you, I'm not an end times preacher, so I can't go into all what's going to happen. But what the word tells me is it will be 1,000 years with him isolated.
Yes.
And the Lord reigning over the earth with people still here.
Yes.
And then after 1,000 years, he will be released again. Let's look at verse 20 and 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and in great chains in his hands, and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years shall be fulfilled. But then, if you continue to read, he's released and he tries to do the same thing again. If you ever wondered, oh, what if God gave the devil a second chance? He's going to do the same thing again. We're prophesied. We're told in the future that that's exactly what's going to happen. Now, the good news is about this, is the devil is defeated. He is the defeated one. The devil doesn't have the keys. His demons don't have the keys. It is an angel of God that has the keys that control who goes in and who comes out.
That's right.
It is God. And I want you to know something. When it comes, we're going to get into more things. Witchcraft, when we talk about witchcraft, we think about all this hocus pocus, all this kind of stuff, mantras, incantations. But let's go into other things, what the God calls witchcraft. How about manipulation? Manipulation. And I think that's operated in the church so much. From leadership down to the people in the pews, trying to get their ways because they know best. Instead of listening to the way God wants them to go, someone trying to control. You got boards in churches that use witchcraft more than Wiccans do. You got people that sit in the pew. You got pastors that use manipulation for their own gain. And so I don't want to just get into a place of future telling and all this kind of stuff. Manipulation. We got husbands that control their wife, wives that control their husbands, kids that are controlling both parents. And using one against the other.
Yes.
And that's manipulation. And the Bible calls it witchcraft. And he says, I despise this. God says, I despise it. So I don't want to get caught up into what is. There's a lot of things that fit under that definition. But the key to it all, are you ready? Is you are victorious over manipulation. You are victorious over the attacks of the enemy. God has made you more than a conqueror this morning. Amen? And so the main thing I want you to get out of this is do not defile yourself. Do not fall for, you know, there's so many Christians. I've seen Christians leave the body of Christ who's like, Pastor, I had someone tell me within the last 3 years, I have found where I belong. I'm like, oh, wonderful. Where is it? And they said, well, you know, there's Mother Earth and there's so many things and, you know, great powers that we can tap into and the light and crystals. And if we hang these crystals and we put them next to our heart and they can give us this chi, this energy. And I'm here like, you know, what they're trying to do is the devil is a manipulator and an imitator. He doesn't care about the character. He wants only the power. And he'll take something that God can do and try to imitate it in this world and try to give people a faster way of getting there. Yeah, see, God wants you to have all these things, but do it my way. It's much quicker. And you'll get, just like Saul, I'll use a witch to hear from God. You'll never be able to use a crystal to hear from the Lord. You're never going to be able to use a witch to hear from God. We must stay in what God tells us to do. Can I tell you this? God can cause you to prosper, cause your marriage to be great, for you to get out of it, and what your wife and your husband and wife get out of it, what they're supposed to get out of it, without using manipulation.
That's right.
And can I tell you this? You can also get your kids to obey and walk in the things of God without using manipulation.
Right.
There's godly ways. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you.